Scripture this morning is written for us in the Gospel according to Mark in chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. Just before verse 29 is the story of Jesus calling the disciples to him. And then they had a gathering in the local synagogue. And then after that, Jesus got a call to go to the home of Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law there was sick in bed. This section of the story of Jesus talks about his miracles and the amazement that the townspeople felt in that area. Directly on leaving the synagogue, the meeting place, they came to Simon and Andrew's house, accompanied by James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed, burning up with fever. They told Jesus. He went to her, took her hand, and raised her up. No sooner had the fever left than she was up fixing dinner for them. That evening, after the sun was down, they brought sick and evil-afflicted people to him. The whole city lined up at his door. He cured their sick bodies and tormented spirits. Because the demons knew his true identity, he didn't let them say a word. While it was still night, way before dawn, he got up and went out to a secluded spot and prayed. Simon and those with him went looking for him. They found him and said, "Everybody's looking for you." Jesus said, "Let's go to the rest of the villages so I can preach there also. This is why I've come." He went to their meeting places all through Galilee, preaching and throwing out the demons. May God add his blessing to this reading from his word. Three little children were waiting for their mother in front of the gasoline station, where the price was $3.65 a gallon. And while they were waiting, the sirens blew and the fire truck came roaring down the street. And in the front seat, going right by the children at the gas station, sitting beside the driver, was a beautiful Dalmatian dog. The children all wondered why the dog was sitting up in the front of the fire engine. So one of the children, a little girl about 8 years old, said, "I know what she's doing there. Her job is to help pull a little child to safety out of a burning building." And then a little boy next to her said, "No, that's not what it is. Its job is to put one end of the hose in its mouth and carry it to the fireman waiting at the building." And then a third child, a little girl of about 7, put an end to the disagreement and to the discussion with this explanation. "The dog's purpose," she said, "is to help the driver find the fire plug." Surely, this was a dog with a purpose. And if the little girl was right, the Dalmatian would go about its job with a single-minded intensity and a clear sense of direction. Some of us will remember Willie Loman, the name of a principal character in Arthur Miller's play of some years ago, The Death of a Salesman. We will recall that Willie Loman's ambition in life was to be a super salesman, at the same time popular and well-liked. But in pursuing these goals, his rising star began to fall. His sales were dropping off. He was beginning to be regarded as a has-been, no longer popular. His old circle of friends got smaller and smaller. Finally, he lost the respect of the son who was his pride and joy. Well, he was all stressed out, as the saying goes. Feeling that he had nowhere to turn, his life became hopeless, aimless, meaningless, and he committed suicide. In the final scene of the play, the lights focus on Willie's wife and two sons who are standing at his graveside on an otherwise bare and dark stage. There they stand. There is an eerie silence, and then one of the sons says, "Poor guy. He didn't know who he was." In the book of Acts, immediately following the experience of Pentecost, Peter preaches an inspiring sermon to the crowds that had gathered around. And he concludes his sermon with these words: "The whole house of Israel can be certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." Hearing this, the people are cut to the heart, Luke says. And they say to Peter and the apostles, "What must we do? What must we do, brothers?" And Peter answered, "You must repent. And every one of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then he urged them, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." That word crooked is translated from the Greek word skolios. We've all heard scoliosis, that curving of the spine. But it means not pointing in the right direction, drifting away from where it should be. A crooked generation is an aimless generation with no overreaching sense of meaning and purpose. That is the malady of the Willie Lohmans of our own generation. It is, perhaps, the malady of the stressed-out modern world, caught up in technological change, which, as I recall from my student days, outstrips the ability of cultures and societies and individuals to adjust to it. So there's always a cultural lag when technology is rapidly moving forward, as ours is today with exponential speed, the result of which partly is a stressed-out world. Whoever dubbed our times the aspirin age probably was pretty close, although I gather that many people need something stronger than an aspirin to get by. It's probably correct to assume that there has never been a more stress-ridden society than ours. Former relaxed, extended family lifestyles, such as I recall from my childhood, with big family gatherings and all sorts of laid-back Sunday afternoons, have been preempted by the hectic nuclear family drifting in all directions, existing on instant meals and often enough shouting matches, strained relationships, maybe not enough sleep and far too much television, And then when we add to that the financial setbacks and cultural dislocations, the struggles at school and the letters that go unanswered, the obesity, the loneliness, and especially those programmed telephone voices that say push one, push two, push three, and the uninvited telephone commercials, the fear of cancer, the fear of violence and guns, day or night, security systems of every description. I get one offer at least every couple of weeks to make my place more secure. And I'm looking around to see who in the world would want to bother. Oh, did I forget to say the mistrust of politicians? The incessant exploitation by advertisers. The news media that live by the slogan, if it bleeds, it leads. So you see violence on the front page. The big word is materialism. And what it really means. The fierce competition fueled by the lust for money at any cost to the rest of us or to our society, our culture, and even our dignity. The unwanted pregnancies, the addictions, even death. These are the makings of the kind of cultural malaise in which we find ourselves. Stress has become a way of life and the rule rather than the exception. There's a Peanuts cartoon. We have to have a Peanuts cartoon. And in this particular strip, Lucy and Linus are staring out the window at a tremendous rainfall. And Lucy says, boy, look at that rain. What if it floods the whole world? Linus replies, it will never do that. In the 9th chapter of Genesis, God promised that would never happen again. And the sign of the promise is the rainbow. Lucy looks at Linus approvingly, then turns again to the window and says, you've taken a great load off my mind. And Linus replies, sound theology has a way of doing that. Well, being retired, I don't have any reason to feel stressed out. But maybe some of you are. I don't know. You want to take that big load off your mind. Remember what Linus says. Sound theology has a way of doing that. Here's the words of Jesus. I'm telling you not to worry about your life and what you are to eat, nor about your body and how you are to clothe it. Surely life means more than food, and the body more than clothing. Can any of you, by all your worrying, add one single cubit to your span of life? So do not worry. Do not say, what are we to eat? What are we to drink? How are we to be clothed? It's the pagans who set their hearts on these things. Your Heavenly Father knows you need them all. Set your hearts on His kingdom first and on His righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. Set your hearts on His kingdom. Seek first His kingdom. The sound theology. Sound biblical theology. And what we know to be the Word of God. I recall this little phrase, "Forgive, O Lord, my little jokes on Thee, and I'll forgive Thy great big joke on me." God's great big joke is that the pursuit of happiness falls under trivial pursuit, that game. When we equate happiness, as materialism, materialistic societies will do, equate happiness with pleasure, or who has more power, or sex, or money, then it becomes a trivial pursuit. It is a trivial pursuit because in that situation one tries to find happiness in the mundane things that come and go. The trivial things compared to what? There are people everywhere desperately trying to be happy. And we may observe that they are the most miserable of all. The sound theology is the sound biblical theology. The Word of God is the gospel truth. Is that happiness comes into your life only when you're pursuing something else. And that something else is to seek to follow God's will for your life. In today's reading from the Gospel, Jesus is staying at the house of Peter's mother-in-law. And Mark tells us that the whole world, the whole town, came crowding around the door. And he cured many who were suffering from diseases of one kind or another. In the morning, long before dawn, the story goes, he got up and left the house and went off to a lonely place to pray. Some of the disciples went searching for him, and when they found him, they said, "Everybody is looking for you." C.S. Lewis, many of you know, was perhaps a very famous atheist who became a very devout Christian. So he knows a little bit about the way things go in one's life. And he said, "Look for yourself," like those who are going around looking for themselves. "Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, despair, rage, ruin, and decay." I believe that in the period of his life when he was looking for himself, this is what he found. And then he goes on, "But look for Christ, and you will find him, and with him everything else will be thrown in." C.S. Lewis did go on to become a very famous man. Do you remember the film The Bridge on the River Kwai? Those of you who saw that recall that Alec Guinness played the senior British officer in a Japanese concentration camp, and he undertook on behalf of the prisoners to build a railroad bridge for the Japanese. He thought that this would lift his men's sagging morale and give them a sense of purpose, something to accomplish. And it did all those things. They built the bridge so well that the Allies had to organize an expedition to blow it up. And when the senior British officer saw that they were trying to destroy his achievement, he was outraged. Then comes the terrible moment in which he realizes what had happened. And he cries out, "What have I done?" He was so busy succeeding in his enterprise that he lost all sense of its meaning. He had built a bridge for the enemy. The question is, do we do anything like that? Is this something that happens in everyday life? Is it possible to be so busy trying to succeed that we lose the sense of direction and what success really is? If we are looking for success in life, we are invited not to fail, not to get sucked in to the meaningless dead ends that are offered to us every day, and keep up our looking for Christ. Keep looking to Christ. And in looking for Christ, we know that it's necessary to be ready and willing to meet Christ on Christ's own terms. For the thing that's different about finding Christ is that we don't find Christ on our terms. We find Christ on Christ's terms. We can try to talk our way into it. Say, God, I'll do this for you, but you do this for me. We'll make a deal here. We might wish our way into it. Oh, I wish Jesus would come into my heart today. And then I feel a little bit better till I get out the door and find out the world's still there and nothing's different inside. Or we might try to force our way into His presence. You know, I got all this I can do for you, God. All you got to do is come into my life. But it can't be done that way. Whether or not we are with Jesus, whether or not we are in union with Jesus, whether or not we are in the company of Jesus, depends whether or not we follow His formula for success, which is very simple. Love one another as I have loved you. As the choir sang this morning, laying down our burden. How much better I am since I laid my burden down. I'm feeling so much better since I laid my burden down. What is that burden? Trying to find myself. I need to find Christ. Then I lay my burden down. Everyone is looking for you, the disciples said to Jesus. What a world this could be if only we could say it now, as a world. Nevertheless, we know in faith that God's kingdom will come on that great day when everyone has found Him. Amen.